Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the writing, comedy, and friendship advice podcast. I am one of your hosts, writer, comedy person, and someone who occasionally checks out online recipes with the express intention of roasting them, and not in the way you're thinking, Daniel O'Brien. I am joined as always by Soren. Go ahead, Soren. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? I'm really glad to be here. Woo!
I wonder if I should tell you in advance
what you should
do something to introduce yourself.
Yeah. The theme would be nice.
Right.
Because they've kind of got their own thing.
Yeah, this one, the only thing that I knew was the line with the express intention of roasting them, and then parentheses, Catskills voice, and not in the way you're thinking. and we've done that.
Catskills voice?
Yeah, like hacky comedian kind of.
What's the origin of that?
Like in the Catskills, in the place, the Catskills?
Yeah.
Marvelous Miss Maisel comedian folks were born.
Oh, okay.
I think. I don't know. I'm just talking.
Yeah, I'm caught up. Hey, Dan, this is maybe a lofty question and perhaps too early for questions, but did you get screeners as part being a member of the guild?
I do, yes.
And
Writers Guild of America sends screeners for around November, December. They send all of the movies that are nominated for writing screenplays. Just you get like DVDs in the mail. And then
and
later
shows
in the year,
as well.
you get the shows that are going to be up for like the Emmys and stuff.
So you get the Marvelous Miss Maisel screeners, I assume. So you own now a little pink suitcase that's full of poker chips and some coffee holders, right?
Right. So I can speak to that. That DVD set, they sometimes put them in like fun themed cases that like could work as storage for something else or just like a conversation starter, just like some piece of show associated branded thing that you could be like, look, this case, I got it for Mad Men or fucking whatever, or Marvel's Maisel. And her DVDs came in this pink tube this year that I had absolutely no use for whatsoever. But thankfully, a woman named Jill Twiss connected me with another woman whose name escapes me at the moment, who collected all of those pink cases from any writers who didn't want them, and they converted them into pencil boxes for kids in schools.
Wait, so that I thought for sure I got a suitcase this year from them.
Oh, you're right. It was a suitcase.
That little makeup kit. Yeah.
Yeah.
The pink tube was posters, I think, that they sent the year before. Anyway, Miss Maisel is always the one that has like the most pageantry to what they send. They send something that's big and kind of ostentatious, and you're just like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do with any of this stuff.
Right. It's very strange because it's a show that streams on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I don't own a DVD player.
Yeah.
So like, please stop doing this to me.
One of those unrelatable gripes, but I want all these screeners. If it's a streaming show, please don't send me anything.
Yeah.
Or just if it is a screener show, let's say it is a movie, put it on a zip drive or like just give me a code and
give
I will go watch it. Yeah. Thanks to Postmates for supporting Quick Question. If you're like me, you're probably starting to think about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code QQ.
We're going to get into this show where we ask each other questions and give each other
it's
advice.
It's a very relatable
first,
show.
We wanted to thank you, our listeners, who prefer to be called Inquire Questival.
Wait. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm there. I caught up.
Yeah, you couldn't tell that Inquire was spelled with a Y.
Yeah. No, I'm there. That's a good one, dude.
Thanks. Before we get right into the meat of this show, let's do our recurring segment of checking in on each other during the quarantine for about 2 minutes. How's that going for you there, buddy?
I told you it's over, man. It's been great. I've been going to the movies. I've been standing in lines. I don't even know what they're for. Just like getting in lines with people, mixing it up.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. How's yours been going? You good in New York? Is everyone dead in New York yet?
Everyone's dead. So it's very peaceful. It's scary, but also quiet in a way that is very pleasant to me. as someone who just doesn't like city noises, it's like, oh, this is slightly better. I wish I could enjoy it by walking around places. The other thing I've noticed about myself is like my schedule makes no sense to me anymore. And I found myself this week out loud asking my apartment, what meal do we think this is? This soup that you have at 3:50 in the afternoon every day. What meal is this? What do we think it is? It's consistent.
Yeah, the patterns that I've developed, not necessarily even around food, but just like the chores I've established for myself are baffling and somewhat embarrassing.
Yeah, speak on that. I want to see if they're more embarrassing than mine.
So I have fake grass now in my backyard. It's okay. Artificial turf, but it gets dirty, I think. And so I go and I water it. And by water it, I mean I just like spray it down, hoping that all the dirt runs underneath and out. And I rake it and I water it. So if someone was to peek over my fence, they'd see a man watering plastic grass.
I see. That's embarrassing, but not in a way that I thought you were going to be like a dirty trash person who left stuff around. But you're doing just madman cleaning.
Yeah.
Fine.
We have gotten a little more feral.
I'm leaving a lot of stuff around. Like I'm looking.
Are you
at,
really?
Yeah. Like I have no
excuse.
That doesn't
strike me as you.
No, it doesn't. I have no real excuse if someone surprised me right now to explain why. Like, oh yeah, I just haven't gotten around to putting the vacuum back away in the closet because I've been so busy. With what? With what? Where could I have gone?
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of like having stuff to do in the future. Like I'll do my laundry in several stages of like obviously washer, then dryer. And then I'll just let it sit for a while in a pile somewhere after it's been washed. And it's like, well, I'm not going to, then what will I do tomorrow? If everything's always clean, what will I do? is how I tell myself.
Yeah. Things have certainly slipped for us. We've gotten a little more feral around the house, especially with the kids. I don't bathe these children much anymore. There's no real reason to, because we're the only ones smelling them. So like I will wait until my son, I can see like caked on sap on the bottom of his feet before I'm like, okay, at the very least we need to wash your feet. And they don't wear clothes. Well, obviously the newborn doesn't wear clothes because nothing fits her yet. She's very, very small. Mm-hmm. But my son does not wear clothes unless we have to leave the house for something. Then we will say, okay, Ronan, we're going to go look for owls. You've got to put on some clothes.
Does he like that? The not wearing clothes?
He loves it. Loves it. Yeah.
And did you guys find any owls?
Yeah. Did I? Oh, I haven't talked to you about the owls in my neighborhood.
No.
Oh, Dan. So I live on a street that doesn't have any streetlights. It's strange at first because at night it gets very dark, but in the middle of the city, but it's a great place for owls. And there's some barn owls that live in the trees along my street and they come out at night to hunt. So in the middle of the night, you just see these white streaks, silent streaks flying through the air.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's great for a kid.
Yeah. That's you're creating so many expectations with him for what life is like that make it seem so much more magical than it is.
Yeah. It will either backfire horrifically or it will make his life better.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the percentage is on either of those. It's a real gamble.
Yeah. Hey, Soren, quick question.
Okay, go ahead.
And this will also explain why some of my chores have fallen to shit. What do you know? Why don't you tell me what you think the game Animal Crossing is about?
Oh, God. Okay.
You must have some awareness of it because it's been the game of the town for the quarantine.
When I say, oh, God, it's because it's so many people are talking about it in Discords and things, like not even just publicly out in Twitter. I'm in Discords with people where I like want to talk about things and they're busy talking about fucking hats that they wear or some guy named Tom Collins or some shit. From what I understand, it's you get your own little island, and on your island you get to design it any way you want. And maybe you're an animal, mm-hmm. and you get to wear different hats and things like that. And you also dress up every day in different stuff. and you get to build a castle. It's kind of like Minecraft and that you get to build a castle or whatever you want on your island. And then you might say, oh, I think I'll head over to Jason's island today. And you can go visit him and see what's going on over there and catch him by surprise.
Yes, that's the never catch him by surprise, because people need to have their gates open to have visitors. Okay. But that is basic thrust of the point of the game. You are wordlessly born on this island that I believe to be Purgatory. And it's not Tom Collins. It's the your indifferent god, Tom Nooks, who gives you assignments. And they start out small as like, hey, you live in this tent, and I think you'd be happy if you caught some fish and then showed them to me. And I'm like, I'm a baby and he's my god. So I'm like, that does sound like it would make me happy, Dad. And like, if you want to show me fish, because it would please me, you need to make a fishing pole. And if you want to know how to make a fishing pole, I could teach you. But you have to go around the island and gather sticks first. You need those sticks. So a large portion of the beginning of the game is just walking around the island, shaking trees and getting and collecting sticks to give to my cruel god, Tom Nooks. And he teaches me how to build a fishing pole. And then I learn how to fish and I present him with fish and it pleases him. And then after a certain amount of tries, I break my fishing pole. He's like, that's okay, you can make another one. And then he eventually teaches me how to make a better one. And the game expands onward from here, gathering things and learning how to make the tools that you need to gather more things, to make more tools and pieces of furniture, and eventually build a house, and then spend your days in the debtor's prison that is Tom Nooks's island scam. Because when you build a house, it's like, you can build a house if you want to. A house will make your life a lot easier. You'll just have to give me 97,000 bells, which is dollars. And I owe $848,000 to my cruel god, Tom Nooks. I have a house with three rooms. It sucks. And the whole reason that I got the game was because of the thing that you talk about, where every Discord, every Slack, people are talking about it. And I was just like, well, I can't tell them to shut up. So I have to join the game, be part of this world, and then ruin it from the inside.
I have so many questions based on what you just said.
Yeah. It takes up for... I don't like it. Ahead. I want to start by saying I don't enjoy it. There are people who are so good at it and their islands look great. And they've got a bunch of different residents and they've got like cobbled streets and cool stuff to show off. And their little avatar looks like them and they clearly put a lot of work into it. I'm never going to put enough work into it to make it the game that the game wants me to make it. I'm always going to do my own thing, but it's still like, even my own thing requires me spending a few hours every day gathering things and fishing so I can sell the fish to the failed clones of Tom Nooks, so I can get bells, so I can try to climb my way out of this fucking debtor's prison, only to be thrust back into it when I try to build an extension to my house eventually. And I just do that, like I fish and I break my fishing pole, and so I build another fishing pole, and then I fish, and then I catch bugs until I break my net, and then I build another net, and I go back and forth to all the different spots that I'm allowed to go to, because another thing you can do that makes the game better is you talk to your neighbors every day. And so you just like, you have a bunch of tasks laid out for you of things that you can do every day that will help you on your journey. You don't have to do them. You could still live in a tent the whole time if you want. But the appeal to the game is that you will, like, I know what my little guy has to do when he wakes up. He needs to gather and fish and sell, dig for fossils to donate them to the museum, buy new clothes to keep the economy going, and to like, you know, buy fancy outfits and feel cute, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. What, are you an animal?
No, I'm me. I'm a person.
Where are the animals?
All my neighbors are animals.
Okay, so the neighbors aren't other people that you're playing against.
No, your neighbors on your island are like computer controlled things. I can also, with online play, go to my friends' islands and see them or have them come over, and they're all people too. Okay. But
and do you have to create game paths for these animals? Where's the crossing coming in?
I don't know.
That makes me angry that it's not immediately obvious.
I don't have to create game paths for them. I have to talk to them. Sometimes you give them gifts. I was feeling threatened by one of my residents, so I had my friends come over to the island and beat the shit out of him, and then he moved.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You can't like actually hurt someone. Like, it's not a violent game, but you can hit someone with your net, and they surrounded him on a bridge and all took turns beating him with their nets, and he got really frustrated, and then they all left, and he came up to me later and he was like, I was thinking of checking out another island. I don't know. What do you think? And I said, yes, I think you should go. And then he left, and I was very sad because I'd grown accustomed to him.
What was the source of your guys' animosity before that point?
For a while, there was only three of us on the island. It was Flip, the weightlifting monkey, and Pashmina, this hot goat creature that I like a whole lot. You can Google her. She's real cute. And I was feeling threatened by his presence. And he's very condescending. And he only talked about weightlifting. And one night, I saw him fishing. And he said that he was going to catch the biggest and baddest fish in the whole ocean. And then I Googled, not this exactly, but can I burn someone's houses down in Animal Crossing? Which you can't.
Okay. So your god,
Tom Nooks.
Tom Nooks. Is he a man or is he, have you seen him?
He's a raccoon. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a raccoon that's telling you what to do every day and you mm-hmm. have to do it.
I don't have to do it. That's the thing. But like it's because there's not really a way to win the game. You just finish it when you're out of debt. And even then you can still like, you'll always be able to buy more stuff or change the exterior of your house or meet new cartoon animal residents. And like when you finish one type of mission where it's like, okay, I found the materials to build a house to lure another resident to come to this island, which for some reason you've convinced me I wanted to do. And that's why I did it. So now I'm done and I did that thing. And he's like, great, really love that. You know, I bet if we had 10 residents on this island and like a really nice like landscape with a bunch of cool things, I bet this famous cartoon dog thing would come and hold a concert at our island. Just something to think about. And like now I guess that's what I want.
Yeah. He puts it in your head.
Yeah. Now I really just want to fish all the time, which I could do, but.
But Tom Nooks isn't one of your neighbors though.
No.
Okay. Is there a chance that you could get Tom Nooks alone on a bridge and beat him to death with a net?
There is not. He doesn't walk around the island. He stays in resident services unless we're having a ceremony. But even then, I can't control anything. I just have to stand and take a picture with him.
So he's untouchable.
Yeah.
And all he does is convince you that you need to accrue more things.
Yes.
And is he ever displeased with you?
No.
Well, then what? Then, I mean, who cares? This god loves you no matter what.
Soren,
why are you really going?
I haven't really been able to explain what this game has done to me.
It sounds to me like you've got a good god. It sounds to me like, yes, he's giving you things in your life to shoot for. He's giving you goals. And yes, maybe they're materialistic, but he also doesn't sound like he's like vengeful or that he doesn't like you or that at any point you can displease him. You're his.
This island was supposed to be my vacation. I mean, it's not explicitly purgatory, but man to man, it's purgatory. But it's built in the game as like, this is you're retired now. This is your island of paradise. And it's quickly turned into, I'm the only one on this island who works. And everything costs money. And I lose bells, which are dollars. I lose them. And in exchange, I earn Nooks miles for like fishing and catching bugs and chopping wood and breaking up rocks. And the miles I can exchange for different goods and services.
Could you get
another
island?
I didn't want them. I never wanted the miles. I want the bells. Bells are better.
Can you get more than one island?
No.
Okay, you just have your one.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of them right now. And other people that you know have come to your island, Dan?
Yeah, and they fucking roasted me. So I don't allow visitors anymore.
You closed your gates?
Yeah, because my island is such trash and I thought they would be nicer, but they were really mean. And one of them trapped me in a hole for a while, which is a skill that I don't even have, so I can't do it back.
What did they say about your island? And if it hurts too much, you don't have to repeat it.
No, just that it was clear that for the amount of time that I had been playing the game, I should have a much nicer island at this point.
They just walked around your island and shit on it?
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Dan. Whenever I hear people talking about this in threads and stuff, they're always saying like, oh, and then I did this really cool thing where I built, does anybody else do this? Where we build your mansion up on top of the hill and then everybody else has to build down below you. And then you're basically like the king of that kingdom.
I've done that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I did.
That's what I'm going to be doing. And I'm going to let the rest of the world fall to shit. And I'm going to have, once I just fucking make my nut, man, and finally complete this house and get out of debt, and I'll be on the top of the pyramid with Tom Nooks and we'll be partners. Then I can stop the game, but it's only when I like really build up my perfect mansion on top of a hill and watch the people suffer below me. Only then I think I'll be happy.
I wish you luck in that.
Thanks,
I think,
buddy.
That, yeah. If that's what your dream is, then I hope that you get it.
Yeah. Either that or hack the game and kill the mad god, Tom Nooks.
Yeah. I'm looking him up right now. I only see Tom Nook. Do you have a different god than everyone else?
No, it's same. It's just what I call him.
Okay. He's just like a sleepy raccoon.
I've invented a backstory for this game that is not considered canon.
And so is there any way like that you can die? Is there any way that the game can hurt you? Are there any antagonists or anything?
Sometimes you can get stung by wasps or bitten by a scorpion or a tarantula, and you pass out for a little bit, but like you don't lose any time. You suddenly are warped back to your home.
Oh, that sounds actually kind of nice.
Yeah, but I had a mission, and I wasn't trying to get stung by wasps. I was trying to get sticks so I can make a fishing pole, so I can make a better fishing pole, so I can catch a tire in the ocean, and I could turn it into a thing that you could sit on.
To please your god.
Yes.
Well, good luck, dude.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
We, again, love our sponsors and want to thank them for supporting the show. And this week we're talking about Postmates. I love Postmates. I've made no secret of that on this show. I order it once a week as like a special treat for myself now, because it's like the end of my work week and I've earned the right to not have to make my own food and have something nicer than I can make brought right to me. Last week, meatballs. I got Postmates from a place called Meatball Shop and got some spicy pork meatball sandwiches.
I love that you do it as a treat to yourself, because Postmates is like, I just need it. I need it as like I do it maybe like 4 times a week where I just, in the middle of the day, I'll be like, I have food in my kitchen, but I deserve fast food, and I'll just get Postmates.
Well, that's what's great about Postmates. It serves both of our different but valid needs.
That's nice of you to call mine valid. Now, I'm somebody who starts thinking about what to eat for dinner, not even when I'm eating lunch. Like, I'll be eating a snack at 4 o'clock and already be like, all right, what is this a precursor to? What am I going to have for dinner? Because I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. And I especially love them right now because I can get food delivered without leaving my house. And as we all know, don't leave your house right now. Postmates is like saving the day. These are like the unsung heroes, you know, the medical community and people who are delivering your food to you. These are the essential workers.
They created a new thing. They're doing this non-contact delivery thing where you don't even need to interact with another person, because they'll just bring the food right to your door and leave it there for you. Now, when I order from local restaurants, I just open my door and surprise, there's some food.
And no one has touched it. They've in such a short amount of time created such a flawless system for getting you everything that you need. And it's not just restaurants either. You can order from grocery stores, and you can even order from convenience stores.
That's great. And in these times, it's a good way to get food for yourself while also supporting your neighborhood spots, because you can pick the restaurants and you can keep money flowing through your community, even if it's not just by going to the restaurant, you can still support them.
So just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code QQ. That's code QQ for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Dan, quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know that you like to cook a lot, mm-hmm. and I imagine that you're cooking quite a bit during this quarantine. Have you discovered any new meals where you're like, fuck, this is fire. I can't wait to serve this to somebody.
No. I wonder if I should have been doing that. I think when I did like my big bulk shopping at the very, very beginning of this, I got lots of pastas, lots of soups, lots of frozen meals, and some things I can make in the crock pot that I've made before, because I wasn't thinking, especially right like in the early days of shopping for this, when it was chaos in the grocery store, I wasn't thinking like, what if I did like a Spanish night? It was all very just like, let me get what I know I can make right now as quickly as possible. And then over time, I have enjoyed cooking less and less because I've been doing so much of it. It's become much more joyless now.
It killed it for you. Your one hobby, the quarantine killed it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, and I guess because you don't have the joy of giving it to somebody else. That's like a pretty big part of cooking.
Yeah.
I haven't been cooking a lot, but I have found a couple new meals. And then also I've been baking, and not breads. I'm not on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
I don't want to associate myself with those sourdough sourpusses. I have been baking cookies, and there's a woman that we both know, Moana, who showed me a recipe for making cookies, and it's fucking incredible. Like, it's so much better than the Nestle Toll House recipe I had been using my entire life.
Okay.
It's incredible.
Well, just what kind of cookies?
They're chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. They're basic chocolate chip cookies, but they're better. I would say, like, what's a run of the mill? Like a Panera. Like, I can make a better cookie than Panera.
Ooh, is that good? Shots fired.
Yeah. I can make, so one of the secrets is that you make it on parchment paper.
Mm-hmm.
It helps out a lot in the cooking process. You can get them really thin, but you can also get them still very, very chewy at the end. And then also just in how you mix the ingredients, which I didn't know. There's like an alchemy to it. Like how hot you want your butter, how warm, or what shape you want your butter in before you add it. And whether you use mixers or you just use a big fuck off wooden spoon. And I've really narrowed it in, and I've made these incredible cookies. I've also been doing a lot of crock pot meals and just like trying out new stuff, and landed on something that I think is very, very good. Ooh. And it's so easy to make. I take chicken thighs, put them in the bottom of a crock pot, and then I pour a whole thing of salsa over the top of them. And then I pour in a packet of taco seasoning. I mix it all around. Maybe like some, I don't know if you're a cilantro. No, you hate cilantro. That's soap to you. Then like some parsley or something like that in there too. Probably dried because it'll get wilty. And an onion. And then you just cook it. And you got to make sure that the chicken's all fully submerged. But then you shred that chicken and you put it all back in the pot and mix it up. And it's so good. It's like restaurant quality. It's delicious. It's so easy.
It does sound good. I was thinking about making a crock pot minestrone soup this week. There's Carrabba's, an Italian restaurant chain with like a Southwest kick to it. They have a really great minestrone soup that I've been trying to reverse engineer for a couple of years. And they have like copycat recipes online, but I don't think they're exactly right.
You took us to a Carrabba's, and I can't remember. You had like some sort of secret menu item that you like to do.
Oh, it was just like they always have fresh, warm bread in the beginning of the meal with an oil with like 12 or 11 herbs and spices. And it's great for dipping the bread. But if you also say you wanted a side of house dressing for the bread, that's where the real money is. Their in-house Parmesan dressing is fucking fantastic with that warm-ass bread.
Right. That's right. That was really delicious.
And it became one of those weird, like inner circle Carrabba's thing, where if you went to a different Carrabba's and asked for that, they knew that you worked there, because that was like an idea that was born by waiters in the restaurant.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And that's why that man kept winking at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Things are all coming to place for me.
Another reason that I haven't been doing like fancy or ambitious cooking is that I feel self-conscious at a store now doing something like where I'm clearly getting ingredients for a fun meal and not like just for utility. Like one night a couple weeks ago, I wanted to make scallops with linguine. So I'm going to the seafood and getting fresh scallops and just feeling like no one here thinks that this doesn't look like an essential trip to anyone. I know I'm buying food, but like, it's clearly fancy night food. You know, I'm getting five fresh scallops for a meal and I don't want to be seen at a grocery store just like Jon Favreau and Chef just mulling over all the ingredients until something speaks to me.
So, and just geographically, what does it look like? You're going to the store on foot and walking home on foot?
Yeah, I'm like a block and a half away from a grocery store.
And is it a substantial grocery store? Or is it one of those little bodegas that New York exclusively has?
It's a substantial grocery store.
Okay. All right. So then the trick is that you're like, all right, there's going to be one experimental night of the week. And I'm going to shop for the week. I'm going to get all the regular meat and potatoes type of stuff. And then I'm also going to have this one night. And so you're getting the scallops in the mix of all of that stuff. Oh. Then what I do is I eat early. I eat like 5 o'clock. And then I know that I'm going to have this meal done by 7. So that way, when it sucks or I blow it, I'm not furious and I'm not panicked because I don't actually have a meal anymore.
Wait, you eat by 5 o'clock and get the meal done by 7? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I eat something else. I eat another meal at 5. If I know that I'm going to be eating 2 hours later, like if I know that the experimental meal I'm making is going to be 2 hours later, this is like a thing I learned a long time ago. When I would go to try new restaurants, it's such a gamble to try a new restaurant because if you're starving and you get something that's not good, it's like it could ruin your whole night. And so I would eat something before I was going to go to a new restaurant that I knew I wanted and that I knew I would enjoy. And then like 2 hours later, I could give or take a meal. And that's right where I want to be. That's my zone. Because then I can eat something. And if it's not good, I can be like, no big loss there. No skin off my teeth.
I understand. I share that mentality for dates, and I'll explain about that in a bit if I can remember to do that. But I don't understand it with food. How are you not full at 7?
I'm like a baby, Dan. Every 2 hours, I could eat an entirely new meal.
Really?
Yeah. I got a fast metabolism.
Man, sometimes I worry I drag my feet on that 350 soup, and then I won't be hungry ever again until like the middle of the night.
Oh, so you eat it, let's say you eat it at like 4 o'clock or like 4:10. It's going to last you all the way through 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Oof. How many bowls are you having?
Just one can of soup.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Maybe I'll crunch up some chippies and throw the chips in the soup.
I get very anxious around food in general because if it's not good, it's bad news. Suddenly I'm in a dire situation because I'm very, very hungry. And I don't want to eat what's in front of me. And I get panicked.
It seems like it would make more sense to make the planned meal. And if it's not good, just like heat up a frozen thing or something else that you already have that you know you like. Like that's the order I would do things.
I won't do it though. I've tried it that way. If I have the other thing and I know it's in my freezer, I'm like, or I could just save it for another day and scarf this bullshit down. And so I won't ever make the other thing. But if I eat beforehand and then I make the meal, God, it's just like, it's all gravy at that point. This is just going to be icing on the cake if this meal is also good. And then I can make it again when I'm actually hungry.
Huh. Well, I mean, you seem happy and you're in good shape. So I'm not going to, I don't think there's any flaws in this plan. It's just,
Since quarantine, I've gained 200 pounds.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Yeah. I have been eating a lot of ice cream. I've really turned to sweets during this quarantine in a way that I didn't anticipate.
I've been messing around with sorbet because that's dairy free, and like I initially got it because I got a blender because I never had a blender before because it didn't appeal to me. But there's a lot you can do with one. This is a sponsored ad for blenders, not a particular brand, just like get a blender,
big blender.
Yeah, but I got an immersion blender to make smoothies, and one of the ingredients for the smoothie was this raspberry sorbet, and I had some extra. So I just like they do in movies. I just sat in the couch and ate it with a spoon. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. this is nice. Cause I'm not like a guy who has snacks around, and certainly I don't have sweets around that often, but this is one thing I think I'm going to take from the quarantine with me to the rest of my life.
That's great.
Yeah.
The only time I fuck with sorbet is like as foreplay. Like I'll eat sorbet or I'll eat frozen yogurt for like a week or two. And then I'll convince myself, hey, you know what? This is pretty good. And then I go back to ice cream and it's like, oh God. Ah. Oh, this is so much better. This is delicious. Anyway,
let's see.
My quarantine.
This is one of our quieter podcasts, it seemed like.
Yeah. Well, you need some of these, right?
Yeah.
You don't want all highs.
No, certainly not. Did I have another question for you?
Did you even ask me one question?
I asked you about Animal Crossing so I could talk about Animal Crossing for 23 minutes. Have you ever been invited to speak at your old high school or college?
Yes.
How'd that go?
Okay, with two instances. I think maybe I talked about one on this where there were the kids from high school that were going to be going to college.
Yes.
Came to my college and I did a little chat for them. I was at the front and realized that I didn't have anything really planned and just shot the shit, sat on the desk like I was the cool teacher, did all the cool things. But the other time was I spoke at my graduation in college and then went back the next year to speak at their senior night. They asked me to come back and just talk about like the world, like being out there, because I had gained so much perspective.
Yeah, you know so much. Listen, kids, I'm 23.
I had been testing DVDs in a cubicle. I've been watching Wedding Crashers over and over since the day I graduated. And I went back to talk to them about the world and wrote a really great speech, a very, very funny speech. It got some good laughs and everything. And then afterwards they were like, you talked a lot about Adderall. And I was like, yeah, it was great, right? It's funny. And they're like, you can't, please don't do that. And I got in a little bit of trouble for my speech.
Wow. It's been a dream of mine for a long time to speak at either my high school or my college, because I have great memories of both. And like, I want to support, and without blowing too much smoke up my own ass, I think an argument could be made that I'm a successful alumni member. And, but I think an argument could also be made that I'm not, because no one had asked me to speak, but I was just like sitting on my hands for years being like, should I just email Rutgers and tell them I want an Emmy and I want to talk to the kids about it, tell them about writing? But like, I didn't want to seem too thirsty, so I never did that. And then finally, last Monday, I did a Zoom Q&A session with a teacher from my old high school that I never had because it's the future now. And they were teaching like four different levels of film and TV writing in my old high school. It's Whoa. Insane. We never had anything like that. And I was really pumped to do this Q&A, and I kind of think I blew it.
Oh,
I do want to blame the quarantine, just because like, it's just a bummer of a time. And a lot of the questions ended up like turning my brain to like the bummer parts of things. One of her, because I was explaining my whole career, I was like, yeah, so I left and just after I graduated college, I moved to Los Angeles by myself. And she was like, oh, was that hard? Was it scary? I'm just like, yeah, it was lonely for a very long time. I think one of the things I don't tell you is that like even the architecture is different. You know, everywhere you look, you're just being reminded that you don't belong here. And it was tough. And then like getting into writing questions, I'm so focused on what I think I want to hear about. So I talk about all of the very unsexy parts about writing. And like, yes, it is like the networking is hugely important. If you want to be a professional writer, you need to learn how to network. And that doesn't necessarily need to be a bad thing. Like networking isn't just like ass kissing and schmoozing, but you do need to spend some time getting to know people that are going to be in this community so they can one day recommend you for a job, because that's almost always how it happens. And then you'll get the job, and it's lots of hard work, and sometimes it's stressful, and sometimes you're covering things that are difficult, and you need to make comedy out of them. And I like giving these lessons that as I'm giving them, I'm just like, yeah, this is all true. I'm saying all true things about the grinding parts of this. And I'm saying true things about how we like to think it's a meritocracy, but it's just not, you know, talent's going to help, hustle's going to help, but really it's, there are a lot of talented people out of work, children. And it was just like at the end of the thing, we talked for like an hour and a half, and the teacher was like, okay, is there anything else that you wanted to say that we didn't get to touch on? And I was just like, yeah, I made some of the best friends in my life doing comedy. And like, sometimes it just feels like all you do is laugh with your buddies. And like, there's no greater feeling than hearing my boss deliver a joke in front of an audience of people and they laugh and clap at it. Believe in yourself, kids. Be brave. Please ask me these questions when I haven't been cooped up in an apartment for 3 months.
Yeah, the thing where I went and talked to a school about the young kids that were coming into the freshman class about what it was like to be on the outside and how I got to my job and everything. And I didn't prepare for it at all. Where they were like, do you need a PowerPoint, like a screen for that? And I was like, oh no, I don't have anything like that. And then I just shot the shit with these kids for a while. I was never invited back to that. They do that thing yearly. They have not asked me back. So it was a similar situation where I don't think I'm welcome. But it made me think, Dan, I generally, when I get you a birthday present, I want it to feel a little bit like a monkey paw curse. Like I want you to think it would be something you want, but there's just an element to it that ruins it for you. And sure. I think that I could finagle it so that you go back to speak at Emory.
What the fuck is Emory?
Isn't that, where did you go to college before Rutgers?
Rowan.
Oh, Rowan. Ooh, that would have been very strange had you gone to Emory then.
Where is Emory?
I don't know. It's a college, man.
Are you sure?
No. Emory University. Eat my ass. Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, that's where you thought I went?
Well, no. No. But it is a university, and that's all that matters. Oh, it's a school of medicine. You could have gone there, Dan.
Oh,
had but you that followed is, your first you. Passion.
But that is another area where I just about screwed up doing this Zoom Q&A thing. And I don't know, because it was just me and the teacher. I don't know what the kids are going to see when it gets edited. But the true story of college for me is going to a school called Rowan for a year and then transferring to Rutgers. And I did have a lot of fun at Rowan and made some great friends, but like had some influential teachers who were telling me to get out of there because there was nothing for me there. And I'm starting to tell this story, realizing I bet a bunch of these fucking kids are going to Rowan next year.
But like the presence of mind for a teacher in that environment to be like, you're bigger than this. I know the size of this and you're bigger than it is really incredible.
Yeah, it was really very cool and very, very helpful. I think it ended up being the right thing to do. Again, I don't think the teachers were giving that advice to everyone.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say that because like only the best. I think it's just specific personality that I had, that I was like interested in theater a little bit and interested in writing more and more and more. And a theater professor who was like, this is a great school for like developing a love of theater and like learning a bunch of experimental approach to theater, but it's small and it's not near anything. And I had a writing professor who was mad that I wanted to do anything with theater and just wanted me to write and pushed me in that direction. And he was like, be a writer and don't do it here. And if it has to be theater, be a playwright or something. I was like, all right, Jesus Christ.
They sounds like they really cared about you. Emory.
Yeah. Emory was
sounds
was
like
huge
a really good school, honestly. It's these great. Teachers are giving it. You some quality time. I have one more question for you, Dan.
Okay, sure.
Did you get your tub fixed?
I did, yeah. It was such a wacky situation. So
Remind people what happened here.
Yeah, the water was not coming out of the shower head anymore. It was only coming out of the faucet when I pressed the button to make the water convert from one thing to the other.
The diverter, yeah.
And then after having done nothing, a new problem emerged where whenever I pressed that button, a horrible sound started happening and it felt like the walls were vibrating, like there was something like really backed up somewhere. And you had given me some advice on taking apart the faucet and the shower head. And I tried to open the shower head, but this is almost going to sound like I'm bragging about strength, but I'm actually highlighting stupidity. I was pulling on it so hard that I didn't know if I was just going to break it, because I couldn't tell if like I'm actually opening this thing or I'm ripping it the fuck out of the wall, which is again like strong but also stupid. Like I should just have a better handle on how to fix things in my own home. So I eventually called the repair people at my building. I was like, I think I'm probably gonna break this if I try to do it and make it worse. So let's have someone come in and fix it. And one guy came in and seemed really scared of the shower. And like I explained to him the problem, and he was like, okay, I don't know. And he didn't even touch it. And he was like, I'm gonna go downstairs. I'm gonna tell the manager what I think, what my recommendation is, because this isn't the building that I normally work at. And I don't know what parts they have. And it's worth it to break out the aside that like this is a tough time for everybody. It's clear that he's not like a normal repair person around here, and is like, It's tough all over. A lot of people are doing extra jobs. I get it. But they sent a person who clearly was never going to be able to fix this thing. I was like, I'll go downstairs and I'll tell them. And maybe they'll send me back tonight. Maybe they'll send me back tomorrow. I'm only here till 4. And I was like, well, which will it be? I'm like, that's not really my area. That's up to them. And so he left. And then they called me from the front desk and they're like, yeah, repairman's going to be back tonight or tomorrow morning. And I was like, yeah, which is it? He was like, oh, is that timing not okay? And I was like, it could be. I just don't like, I understand it's quarantine, but like I have work meetings and I have a dog that I need to walk sometimes and like chores. I don't know. Just like give me a more narrow window than either tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's really all we can give you. Unless you want to like specify a time. And I was like, yes, what? That was on the table? 10:30 tomorrow morning, please. And they're like, okay, great. And then about 20 minutes later, a different repairman showed up and fixed it.
Oh, solid.
But like such a strange, not I wouldn't say compelling story, but just like more proof that nothing is okay in the quarantine. We're all
yeah.
We're all doing our best.
I do love that they sent up a dude who didn't even touch your... Like, the minute he found out it was in a bathroom, he was like, oh, fuck. No. Stay cool. Yeah.
But the second guy walked in, and I was like, I thought they were going to send someone tomorrow at 10:30. And he was like, yeah, but I'm here now. I'm not here tomorrow at 10:30. I was like, okay.
Perfect.
Are they going to send that other guy at 10:30? Like, no, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. And then he went and fixed it in, like, 1 second.
And did he touch your shower head at all, or was it all down in the diverter?
It was all in the diverter. He just like tightened or loosened one thing and then it was fixed.
Oh, that's the best. It's the best when somebody comes along and is like, you're an idiot for not knowing this, and they fix it right away. And you're like, that moment of shame made the rest of my life so much better.
Yeah. But I didn't even get to see him do it because of 6 feet.
Oh, right. You can't be in there.
He was really insistent on like, okay, back up. I'm going to come into your apartment now and I'm going to go into the bathroom. And then I'm going to leave. And like, you, like this is the distance that we need to be.
Oh, Dan, I'm falling in love with this guy. He tells you exactly how it's supposed to go, how your interaction is supposed to happen. This is wonderful. I want to meet him.
All right.
Call him up again.
I'll break my shower. Yeah.
I'm glad you got it fixed though. I'm glad that's not an issue for you anymore.
Yeah. No. We're going to wrap things up now. I've got to track down the social accounts, but while I'm doing that, I'm going to need Soren to vamp for a little bit. I'm sorry to do this to you. I'll get you started. Earlier this week, we lost a comedy legend. Jerry Stiller passed away. It's heartbreaking. You tweeted, then deleted, finally. Do you care to speak to that?
Yeah. I deleted it just because I wanted to be respectful of Ben, who obviously a good friend of mine, but Jerry, I knew for a long time, wanted to be see his wife again, who also passed. And I thought now he's got that opportunity up there in on that great stage in the sky. He will find her again. And I can't wait for them to have each other once again. And while he's a loss to us, it would be selfish of me not to say on his behalf, finally.
Well done. You can find Soren on Twitter at Soren_LTD or me at DOB_INC. Or if you're new to the podcast, this guy, Michael, that we know, make me bacon, please, on Twitter. You can email the show at qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com and tell us something funny. You can follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/QQ_SorenandDan and tweet us something funny. You can find Gabe Harder, who is our engineer, producer, editor, and just like an all-around tech whiz that has made this podcast, which sounds like it should be easy. It's actually very difficult, but he has made it easy and he's made it work every week and we don't know how. But you can find him at GabeHarder.com. We also have a Patreon somewhere. And I think that's it. Right?
I was going to say, Gabe, yeah, Gabe is another person in my life, just like that guy at your at the Canon fixture shower. Gabe is somebody who tells me what to do when we get here. I set up my stuff. He tells me exactly what to do, how it's going to work. When it doesn't work, he's like, I'll fix it. And I'm just like, this is the dream.
Yeah.
This is what it, this, these are the people you want to surround yourself with.
He's a very good communicator with, talk to me like a child while not making me feel like I'm being condescended to.
Yeah.
But like, I'll think about it later and realize, oh, I'm the dumb one in this, because you're like, okay, now look at the top right of your screen. Okay, great. Do you see a volume button? You do. That's good. And I'm like, I do see a volume button. I'm clicking on it, Gabe.
Yeah. He's not going to use any like shorthand within the sound community that you wouldn't understand. He's like, look up in the top right corner. Are there three dots? They're going to be one on top of the other, not three dots in a line. Yes, I did wonder that, Gabe. Thank you.
Did you direct your eyes where I told you to direct them? Uh-huh. Okay, you should be seeing this. I am. All right, that's very good. It is.
He's great. Everyone should hire him.
All right, that's our show. We'll be back.
Okay, bye.
Every week, forever.